Praise God. Looking for great things in His kingdom. Amen. We can prove by many proofs of the Bible, Old and New Testament, that God for the church has saved the best to the last. Amen. Haggai chapter 2 talked about the glory of the latter house being greater than that of the former. He was not talking about an Old Testament Jew. He's talking about the New Testament Jew. And the house there is the church of the living God. Jesus said, "My Father's house shall be called what? The house of prayer." So he referred to the church as the house. Amen. And God, and no uncertain terms, going to maybe bring a little bit out tonight, but in no uncertain terms, for the church, God has saved the best to the last. I can't say that for the world. It's quite the opposite. Amen. But for the church, I'm looking forward to greater things, better things. Amen. Deeper things. I was seeking the Lord this evening. I said, God, I've got to have deeper depths, higher heights. I need a deeper walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And God has it for us if we want it. Praise God. Glad for the great service last night. Amen. Enjoying the fellowship with Brother Meyer right at the ending of the service and all of that. We kind of fellowshipping up here, and he was telling us some things. And I'll tell you one thing, we're at the end of all things. Not just America, but the whole world. Amen. We see it wrapping up like never before. And you wonder how far God will let America go before he destroys this nation, don't you? Well, he's bringing judgment on us all around us, everywhere. Has been for a little while. But I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 tonight. And I do want to give honor to Elder Meyer and Sister Meyer and their family. I love and appreciate them. They're my good friends. And we want to try to, by the word of God, get, like I said, deeper in the things of God. Amen. And I want to know how to draw more nigh unto him, don't you? Yes. I'm not satisfied just being mediocre. That's right. Never have been. Amen. So there's got to be more and more and more as our time goes on until it's over. Remember what he prophesied in Isaiah chapter 60, there, verse 1 and 2 through there. "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people." He didn't stop there, did he? "But my glory shall arise and shine upon thee." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church of the living God. That was a prophecy that God gave. Amen. But in Luke 4, 16, reading down. And again tonight, there's so much in these subjects that I got to leave a lot of it out. Just trying to just put it aside. But try to hit the meat of the message, so to speak, or the heart of the message. And try to let us understand some things from the Word of God tonight. In Luke 4, 16, reading down about through verse 20. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book..." Now, we know back then that King James said book, but it was a scroll. Books were never put together till the invention of the printing press. That was in the 15th century, if I'm not mistaken. And the first book the printing press printed was the Bible. If they would have invented the printing press today, the first book they'd print in America would be Playboy or one of those. Praise God, it would. Man, they've kicked the Bible out of everywhere they can kick it out of. Let the stinking Koran be in the public schools, but not the true Bible, not the Word of God. See, we're in a kingdom battle here, and it's not just natural. It's the kingdom of Satan, it's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and we're on the winning side. We're in the winning kingdom. Amen. That joker don't have a chance when it comes to my heavenly Father. Praise God. He put him in his place. I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," one thing about it, you don't put an enemy behind you unless you've got him totally subdued. He'll blow your backbone out with a gun or stab you or something. That's why he said, "Get behind him, Satan." He was concerned about that devil. He has all power over him and all of his imps. Hallelujah. So here it was a scroll. And they never, of course, had what we have, chapters and verses, numbered verses. But the Bible said this. This is what it said. "They delivered him the book of the prophet Isaiah," or the scroll. "And when he had opened the scroll," the book, "he found the place where it was written." Now, he couldn't go to Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, where it was written. As we do, they had to open the scroll. But instantly, almost instantly, he found where it was written. And here's where he quoted from, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 19th verse, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. What he commanded the physical body of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, in that physical body, what was prophesied and given him, the same is given unto us. But if I didn't know what the acceptable year of the Lord was, how would I know to preach it? Well, we'll come back then in a little while. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now, verse 20, let me just say a little bit about that. That's not what I'm after, but it said he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. In Ephesians 4:8, he's speaking to Jesus Christ, said he sent it up on high, led the captivity captive, and gave G-I-F-T-S, gifts unto men. And verse 11 said what those gifts were, and gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in unity of the faith, not any old faith, the faith. Someone said, what faith are you people of? The only faith in the Bible. Ephesians 4:4, there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Amen. Ephesians 4:5. Amen. There's one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Verses 4 and 5. But look at this. He closed the book, gave it the ministry, okay? He gave gifts unto men. Then he called the five, they call them fold ministry, at least five gifts of the ministry. And he handed us the book. As he said in the book of Matthew 10:7-8, as you go preach, saying, kingdom of heaven's at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out the devils, freely receive, freely give. Amen. But I'm going to get off that. But I mean, that fits in so beautiful there. Closed the book, gave it again to the minister. Hallelujah. And sat down. Sat down means it's completed. It's over. Amen. That's what the term sat down means. So I'm glad that he already paid the price and the Messiah is not coming. The Messiah is already here. Praise God. But I want to take from this tonight the scriptures we read, and I'll come back to that in some in just a moment, Lord willing. And that is because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. If we're going to preach, we need to preach on the anointing of Almighty God. If we're going to teach, we need to teach with the anointing of Almighty God. If we're going to testify, we need to testify under the anointing of Almighty God. Whatever we do, we need to do it with the anointing. Because without the anointing, it's not going to accomplish very much at all, if hardly anything. Let's go back to the Old Testament here. And I'm going to pick up Isaiah 61 in a few moments. So let's go back. And these, as far as the priesthood, is a type and a shadow of the New Testament church and the New Testament ministry. Leviticus 16:32, and the priest whom he shall anoint. Who? God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 said, no man taketh this honor unto himself. We don't call ourselves. We don't just get out there and preach whether they call us or not. Not if you're going to be successful. You make shipwreck. That's right. But he said, concerning the ministry, no man take it. Listen to what God called it, honor. And to himself. You know, some people look at a minister, a certain minister, oh man, boy, I'd like to have one thing. I like this. Are you willing to pay the price they paid? They said, Lord, grant us we can sit on your right hand, left hand, remember? He said, are you willing to drink the cup that I drink of? Not when he went to Calvary. They fled like rats leaving a sinking ship. Right. Although Peter before that smote on his breast, they may all leave you, Lord, yet not I. He said, really? They're going to be a rooster preach you a message. Praise God, did he do it? No, we can't brag on ourselves and we can't call ourselves. If God does not call us, forget it. That's right. Just see what you'd like to do and go do it, right? I don't mean just you individually, anybody, everybody. You know, Paul said concerning the ministry, 1 Timothy 1:12, and of course, in verse 13, I believe it is, he called himself a blasphemer because he helped persecute and kill Christians. But he said, God is merciful because I did it in ignorance. But think what he said before that in verse 12. And I thank my Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he enabled me, in that he enabled me, putting me in the ministry. Wow. He knew he didn't get in that ministry on his own. He knew God had to do it.
That's right.
Amen. And that's the reason he wrote such things. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Pretty heavy, isn't it? So here in Leviticus, the priest whom God shall anoint. Well, if he called him into the priesthood, they know maybe, ifs, ands, and buts, he shall anoint. Bishop Golder said, you know how to know what God likes? What he likes, he anoints. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. Amen. Praise God. But listen to this. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. Now the Lord talks about us being clothed naturally and clothed spiritually. Amen. Psalms 132 verse 9, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and the saints shout for joy. In Isaiah, the writing was brought forth in Isaiah 61, 10, and said, he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. So as it is naturally in our physical body, so it is spiritually. Amen. Remember what the Lord told the Laodicean church? You're miserable, blind, and naked. He was talking about salvation, talking about righteousness. Oh, they had righteousness, all right. It's self-righteousness. Hallelujah, but God hates that spirit. I mean, they thought they were it, and God, he lowered the boom on it. He didn't say anything good about that church, did he? Amen. So, Brother Brian, I despise that spirit. I don't want nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what, the book's right, and it'll stay right. Because he said in Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How long? Forever. Hallelujah. So it said, even he's going to put on him the linen clothes, even the holy garments. See, he was set aside. God had called him, put him there. And he didn't put himself. God had to do it. That's why Brother Paul talked about himself being a blasphemer, a persecutor. In other words, he was the one that wrote, forgetting those things which are behind, Philippians chapter 3. Remember? Forgetting them. Buddy, there's no one else more qualified to forget what happened than him. I don't think any of us here has killed Christians yet or helped kill them. I hope not anyway. But he said, God forgave me. He had mercy because of my ignorance, in my ignorance. And that's true. If he'd have known the truth and did that, goodbye. It would have been over. Praise God. But there is an anointing that God has, not, yeah, there's a special anointing, all right, upon the ministry, but there is anointing upon those that are called and chosen of God. And whatever we, if we teach Sunday school, we ought to do it under the anointing. It doesn't matter what we do, it's going to be effective, it's got to be under the anointing.
That's right.
And you know, when it comes to the anointing, let me say this and go ahead. God said in Psalms 105 verse 15, touch not mine anointing. And do my prophets no harm.
That's right.
In Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8, he said, he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of mine eye. And the apple, the King James word, is pupil of mine eye. And nobody wants anyone sticking their finger in your eye or anything else in your eye. And that's what God said. Amen. Just don't touch mine anointed. And I've seen those get in such trouble that did. In fact, some of them died. Amen. If I wouldn't agree with a minister or a pastor in the church I was at, before I'd get in trouble with God, I'd just leave. That'd be the safest thing. Not to stay there and cause him trouble. I'm serious. God said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. You know, there's a great message in that. And that's another message. But as bad as Saul treated David, I mean, wanted to kill him, threatened to kill him, tried to kill him. Chased him out of his own country into the land of the Philistines, remember? All of that. But yet, when it come time and God turned around in the cave where David could have wiped him out, he wouldn't touch him. And God had rejected Saul. Think about it. And listen, the Amalekite that, remember, came to David when Saul said, you know, thrust the sword through me. In other words, I'm dying. I want to die quick. Well, whatever happened on that, when he came, remember when he came to David and said that he'd killed Saul, finished him off? What did David say? How dare you, I'm paraphrasing it, touch God's anointed. Anointed? He'd been rejected for 15 years. Well, that tells me something. I mean, I'm not going to get in trouble with God. You know, anywhere I've been, if I didn't agree with him, I just bow out and leave it alone. Well enough alone. Amen. Touch not my anointing. God said it. I do my prophets no harm. Luke 17, listen to this, 1 and 2. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, think about this, but that offenses will come. Brother J.T. Pugh, awesome teacher, and I've got a lot of his old messages, tapes back in the 60s, 70s, and was an awesome man. I mean, just hold you spellbound, listen to him. And I remember so many things he said, preached and taught through the years. One thing I remember he said, what he was saying was, you know, if you don't want to have any persecution, any opposition, just don't do anything. In other words, he said, if you don't want to get burnt, stay out of the kitchen. You don't want your nose flattened, stay out of the ring. You want your arm twisted up over your head, don't get in the wrestling match. But he was relating to this. If you don't want anyone talking about you, saying it, don't do anything. Because when you go to do something for God, you're going to find somebody ain't going to agree with you.
That's right.
And some of them will even try to kill you.
That's right.
Amen. But I'll tell you what, the book is right. And Jesus said the offenses will come. But listen to what he said. But woe unto him whom through they come. Boy, that don't sound good. He went on. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of his little ones. Wow. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. All right. I'll give you the other side of it. We're going to go back to where I was reading Luke 4, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. And here is where Jesus quoted from when he read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Like I said, back then, when Jesus was in the tabernacle, reading from that, it was a scroll. It wasn't put down in chapters and verses. It were not numbered. But it's numbered now since the printing press, since the Bible is printed in a book, or books, Biblica, book, that's Bible, Biblica. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, I repeat, it's where Jesus read from. And listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Remember the book of Acts 10:38, how God, deity, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, flesh, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that makes the difference. And the work of God is in progress, and the work of God flourishes, and the work of God prospers because of the anointing. All right, listen to this as we read on. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, this is from the Hebrew into our English, and from the Greek, a few words were changed around here from the Greek, but the meaning is identically the same. Amen. But if you and I are not careful, as it has been with many people, we can become so conformant and so organized and galvanized and portionalized till we organize God plumb out everything. Hallelujah. So much for these Bible schools.
Amen.
Praise God. They want to teach you how to stand a certain way and get your composure and say your right words. About anointed as a dead muskrat. Praise God. I remember Brother Burble Bean years ago. Of course, he never went to a Bible college. But, well, he was a man of God. He knew the word, all that. If you've heard any of his tapes, you know what I'm talking about. Prayed hours a day. And since he was a boy. One of these sophisticated women says to Marcy, you know, up-to-dupe, multimillionaire woman. I said, Reverend, where did you get your degree? He said, PWT. She said, PWT? I don't believe I've ever heard of that. What is PWT? He said, Piney Wood Thicket. She said, I was afraid of that. Praise God. That's where he got his degree, on his knees in a piney wood thicket. Praise God. Amen. That's the best way to get it, Brother Brian. Amen. So let's read on the next verse now. Isaiah 61. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There it is again. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now listen to what's happening here. Because we pick it up in Luke 4. And the same thing he was reading of himself goes in on with the spiritual body of Christ. The same thing is committed unto us. And listen to verse 2 again. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said that's what we're to preach. Okay. Well, we know. Let me just say this right here. I'll go on from it. But they had every 50 years the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament. And this is what it's talking about. The acceptable year of the Lord. That's what it was. And every 50th year, remember, that the slaves were to go free. I mean, those in prison were to be set free. That was typical of what he's saying here for us. Because the message we have preaches people out of prison. I'm talking about spiritually. That, amen. The message we have brings deliverance. The message we have and the one God message, Acts 2:38 message we preach says you don't have to go on your drugs.
That's right.
You don't have to go through cold turkey.
That's right.
From your booze. My God can deliver you instantly, and we've seen it. You've seen it. Yep. We've seen it many times through the years. Yep. Instantly. Confirmed alcoholics, and God instantly deliver them.
Yes.
That is a miracle.
Amen.
You don't get that out of your system instantly. Not when you've been doing it for many years.
Right.
Praise God. But I'm serving a miracle worker that you don't have to go through cold turkey or Alcoholic Anonymous Association. Praise God. Because he will deliver you the instant you want delivered.
Right.
Now, wait a minute here in the Bible. And the day of vengeance, now, to proclaim, what's proclaim mean, number one?
To tell.
Yeah, to tell. To tell forth. To speak forth. Proclaim it. Tell it. All right? So we're to preach and proclaim, preach it out, the acceptable year of the Lord. That is, we have the message of deliverance. Bind up the brokenhearted. Set free the captives. Prisoners that are bound, out of prison, those are bound. All of that. That's what we have to preach the acceptable year of the Lord now. But it goes on to say, in the day of vengeance of our God. Wow. This is what we're to proclaim, preach. To comfort all that mourn. Now, the next verse, he's going to switch that around just a little bit. But look at it. Let me elaborate on it just a few moments. The day of vengeance. We're to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, the day of vengeance of our God is here.
That's right.
It's fulfilling all around us. You better believe that. Earthquakes, hurricanes, cancer, diseases, tornadoes, floods, droughts, storms. Everything you can look at, every way you can look at it, the day of vengeance is here. It's not over yet, but it is here. Hallelujah. And to comfort all that mourn. You know, a lot of what this government does, and I know Elder Meyer stays up on that a lot more than any of us do, and thank God for that, because somebody needs to put out the truth and tell people what's coming, what's happening, what to do about it.
That's right.
Amen. But you know, they drum up so many things. Of course, y'all know AIDS was created in a laboratory. That's no secret. Huh. Anybody ever studied anything at all knows that. And it was for one reason, to depopulize the world. See, they want a population to be controlled. In other words, to obliterate a great amount of it. That's why they create famine, such as in Ethiopia and everything they do. Well, they've always got something in America to keep the American people scared half to death. It's not AIDS, it's mad cow disease. If it's not that, it's Ebola, Zaire. If it's not that, it's cancer or venereal disease. They always got something, no matter what it is. Always something they come up with to keep people, And the government has the answer with all their vaccinations. Yeah. Praise God. And 2 Timothy 3:13 said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. It says it's going to get better. It says it's going to get worse and worse. The murder, the rapes, the crime in America. It's unbelievable because the news media does not tell you all that. They don't tell you all of those that commit suicide every week in America, which would be 1,000 a week at least. And I know it's not all on drugs. Drugs is a great part of it. But a lot since this economy has went where it's went, I'm telling you, there's been people committing suicide like crazy. But the news media don't tell you nothing about it, do they? No, they want to keep everything, you know, everybody numb-numbed, as Brother Meyer says. Yes, right. Praise God. I read this, folks. I got the date here. Year 2000. In the post office in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where my daughter used to live. And they had it on the wall behind the counter, and I read it. It said, now this is 2000, year 2000. In 1 in 5 children received a sexual solicitation or approach over the internet in the past year. Now this is 2001 when I read it, so the past year would be 2000. 1 in 5 children in America received, I repeat, a sexual solicitation or approach over the internet. Isn't that pitiful? You talk about a sick nation, folks. God have mercy. But God said through the scripture, we're to proclaim the days of the vengeance of our God, but we're to comfort all that mourn. We cannot doubt we're in a mourning generation. And I'm talking about mainly the world. Verse 3, I'll bring it into the church. But to comfort all that mourn. You know, I had an experience in Camden, Ohio, a few years ago. The pastor had either died or left. I forget what happened, but he's gone either way. And the pastor I was preaching for was telling me about it. And he said, well, they want you, because he knew him, wants you to come down and preach for him, if you will. And I said, sure, I'll go try to help him. And they talked about me maybe taking that church, but that wasn't my calling. I knew I was an evangelist and I wasn't going to jump out of that call and get in trouble because maybe I didn't want to travel anymore. I mean, I did want to travel, but you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I went down there and helped him get a pastor, in fact. But when I was there, the man in charge, I don't think he claimed to be a minister. He's holding the church together, you know what I mean. And I was doing a pretty good job, but you know, helping him, keeping them together until I get a good pastor. And he said, Brother Lance, there is a young lady just tried to commit suicide. She's in the hospital here in Canton. Would you go pray for her? Well, I'd never prayed for anybody that was trying to commit suicide before. And so driving, he told me the room number, gave me the directions how to get there. But driving there, I said, God, look, I don't even know what to say to her. Number one, I'm just going to believe you. The Holy Ghost is going to just talk to her through me. Remember what Jesus said, they deliver you up before the counselors and all that. Don't even premeditate what you're going to say. The Holy Ghost will speak it for you. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. So I prayed all the way there, Brother Tim. I said, okay, God, it's in your hands, because I don't know one word to say to that girl. You know, it's a young girl, 20, 21, whatever. When I walked into that room and began opened my mouth, the Holy Ghost ministered to her. I don't remember a word said. It wasn't a prophecy, like it was just the Holy Ghost just talking, speaking. That girl laid there and repented. She had rings on both hands, almost every finger. I didn't think about any rings. She laid there crying, and what's she doing? She's taking the ring. Oh, whoa. Praise God. And God had ministered to her. Amen. So I'll tell you what, when God's in it, it works. We can jump in on our own and cause shipwreck. But when God does it, he does it right. And that young lady actually just cried and bawled and laid there and repented. Amen on that bed. But I'm glad, you know, that God has the answer. Amen. All that mourn in this generation, all that mourn. Amen. Those that are on drugs, tobacco, alcohol, whatever. Amen. We have the answer. Now let's bring it this way. Listen to this. He goes on in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. We have churches, one God church is filled with people with depression. I run into it a lot. But we have the answer. You know, them that mourn in Zion, depression, fear, anxiety, troubles. Well, we all have troubles to a degree, you know. But God's got the answer to no matter what it is. And the anointing is what makes the difference. Amen. If the anointing hadn't been on me in that hospital room, I wouldn't know what said to that girl. I mean, she had slashed both wrists. They had her all tied up and bandaged up, you know, tried to commit suicide. I remember Sister Nona Freeman. You might have heard some of her testimonies and tapes or CDs, whatever. Her and her husband was in Africa. They spent their life in Africa. They went over as a young married couple years ago. And you talk about the testimonies of the miracles of God. But she's washing dishes. She's a very spiritual. In fact, she just passed away three or four months ago. It's been real recent. And she was like, I think in her 90s. But anyway, she's washing dishes and the Lord spoke to her. It's going to be a car coming down that road in a few minutes. And I want you to go out on the front porch and wait on it. When it gets close enough, you can see the driver just smile and wave. That's all God told her. Sister Marsh, she dried her hands, walked out on the porch, and sure enough, of course, I say the road, it wasn't like our roads, it's just a dirt road. You see the dust flying, you know. So when the car gets close enough, she just smiles and waves, and of course, he's looking at her, she's waving at him, even waving at him through the back window, he keeps going. I don't know how much time passed, a week or two, a few days, I don't remember that, but I remember the testimony very well. And a fellow approached her. He said, "You don't know me, do you?" She said, "No, sir, I don't believe so." Said, "I know you don't, but I was the man that drove by your house the other day. I had come to the end of my rope. I was on my way to commit suicide. But when I drove by that house, as far away as you could see me, you were smiling, laughing, you know, waving, smiling. And I thought, there is somebody that loves me. There's somebody that cares about me." And needless to say, he didn't commit suicide. Well, that's why God told her to go do that. You know, when the Lord says do it, we need to do it. Sometimes it sounds a little strange to us, but if it's God, believe me, there's a reason for what he's saying. Amen. "Appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Wow, let's give the Lord a hand clap, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, sir, we have the answer, church. We've got the message for the world. We've got the message for those that are bound, those that are in prison. I'm talking about both naturally and spiritually, praise God. Amen. 2 Chronicles 26:5. I've told people through the years, I said, okay, if you're having a little tough time here, or even a big tough time or whatever, you're having a tough time. If things are not going right, I tell you what you do. Do what 2 Chronicles 26:5 said. Speaking of the King Uzzah of Judah. And here's what it said. "Who sought God in the days of Zechariah. Who had an understanding in the visions of God." And here's the point. "And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." Think about that. As long as he sought the Lord. God made him to prosper. Seeking the Lord, and I'm not going to go into the scripture, but seeking the Lord that's how we can move God. That's what God said. Remember Hebrews 11:6, rewarder to who? Them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Amen. You know, I've been through it all, I guess, preaching around through the full time, like I said, 39 years in June. June 12th, first night of revival full time, 1971. But I guess, you know, traveling, you see about everything. And I've seen them supposed to be shouting, praising God and worshiping God, and they got in trouble. They was in the flesh, not the spirit, as far as what they were doing. But I remember Brother Elder Wade telling me years ago, he was in a church that had a balcony back years ago, and that was years when they played the accordions, didn't have all the modern technology they have in this hour, you know, in these churches. Played the old accordions. Well, his sister's on the balcony. And she's playing the accordion, got her eyes shut, and she's worshiping God while she's playing. She gets in the spirit and steps off the balcony. She flipped in the air, and her dress didn't even come up. It stayed perfect. When God's in something, he don't make mistakes. And folks, she playing that accordion in the air. Do you know she stepped off the balcony, landed on her feet, still playing the accordion, still thought she's on the balcony. God have mercy. Now that's the anointing. Hallelujah. You better believe one thing. That is the anointing. Praise God. If it wasn't, forget it. Hallelujah. J. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Amen. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Here's the point. For without me, ye can do nothing. Wow. We're going to try to blunder around on our own? No. Because of the anointing, progress is made in the church of the living God. Because of the anointing, people hit the altar. I've heard back through the years when the saints of God stood up and testified under the anointing, and sinner people get up while they testify and run and bawl and squall on the altars. There's such an anointing on their testimony. Like I said, we shouldn't try to do anything for God without the anointing. I don't care what it is. It's teaching kindergarten. We ought to do it under the anointing. It was saying in a special, we ought to do it under the anointing. What is our purpose? What are we here for? Put on a show? No. No, we're here to get God to move for us. Amen. We're here to worship Him, praise Him, hear more of the Word of God, and begin to glorify Him in our spirits. Hallelujah. That He may be glorified. That's what the last part of verse 3 said, wasn't it? It said, let me read the last part of that. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That which my heavenly Father's planted won't be rooted up. Right? Okay. The planting of the Lord, that He, God, might be glorified. We're not in this to glorify ourselves. We're in this to glorify Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not how big and great things we can do. It's all about Him. Amen. We keep that in mind, we're going to be all right. But I've seen so many didn't keep that in mind. God began to use them, began to anoint them, and work some of the gifts. Isn't it? They got exalted and consequently went down. We cannot glorify ourselves and come out a winner with God. We're going to pay for it. We must know that right now. Everything's about Him. Everything's to glorify Him. Yes. Amen. Why would any of us in the ministry try to teach or preach without the anointing? That is crazy. I've got to seek that anointing. I like, what Brother Pugh said. The message, he said this in the beginning of it. I don't know if I've got a tape with me. If I could find it, give it to this church. Give it to y'all because it's awesome. Anointed but not blessed. And, of course, Brother Pugh was in the UPC then, and he said that the general superintendent, I guess you call it, had him to teach that message in different churches, you know, of the UPC. But he said this, I have never went to teach it in any church, the same message. I never went to teach it that I did not seek God for a fresh anointing. That's awesome. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm talking about because of the anointing. Now, I'm going to tell you what, when the anointing of God's upon you, you can say and do some things that the next day when it's not there, you say, whoa, what did I say? I've read books of Smith Wigglesworth, and as far as miracles, he's like some of the other men through the 50s, Jack Cole and William Brandon, all those guys. They saw the miracles. No doubt about that. Smith Wigglesworth prayed for a woman that evidently was cancer or something. She had no nose. And he spoke and said, a new nose will grow on your head, your face. He said, after he got out of that anointing, like the next day, he said, what did I tell her? But it happened. She grew a new nose. Hallelujah. If we say it under the anointing, it's got to happen. It's God, not us. Amen. And I'll tell you what. We need that anointing more than we ever need it in the days it's ahead of us. We're going to need it more and more every day. Yes. Why? Because the forces of evil are getting stronger. But my God is the strongest, and if the strong man's in us, we're going to come out a winner. Yes. Amen. But we don't seek Him for the anointing, we're sure not. I remember there was a young man called Brother Levy. Brother Levy in Carlsbad, New Mexico, went to preach Brother Paul first revival there in 1971 on the way to California. And Levy was in jail, and again, he was fixing to commit suicide before the sun set that evening. His wife was divorcing him. His children, she had turned his children against him. They hated him, and it was a bad situation. So he smuggled a belt in there, and he figured he knew how to do it. He was going to hang himself, kill himself, by the time the sun went down that evening. But Brother Polk went through that jail. He's going to visit someone in a jail cell. But when he walked down that aisle and just passed Levy's cell, the anointing from Brother Polk just radiated in those days. And Levy felt that. He hit that floor on his knees, that concrete floor in that prison cell, and cried and bawled and repented. Because Brother Polk found out about him. And they allowed Brother Polk to take him and baptize him in the great name of Jesus Christ. And the first service Levy attended, he was going to come to the altar area to get the Holy Ghost. He never made it to the altar. He started up the aisle, and the power of God hit him, smote him, and he lay there speaking in tongues. God filled him with the Holy Ghost on his way to the altar. Of course, he'd already repented in that jail. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in that revival, see, he had the Holy Ghost, but his wife was still against him. His family, they hated him at that point. He'd just gotten the Holy Ghost. We got there for that revival. And one night I was praying for him, and God gave him a prophecy. And he told him, I'm just paraphrasing what God said. If you'll keep your integrity with me, I will reunite you and your family. I'm just paraphrasing what God said, the words he used. I will fill your wife with my spirit and your children with my spirit, saith the Lord. The next day you say, what did I say? No. Under the anointing, Brother Meyer, he don't even worry about it. It's going to take place. We went back, folks, the same month, the month of October, 1 year later. I hadn't heard anything about Levy, Brother Levy, for that year. Whatever time I talked to Brother Paul, I never even thought of it. And he never mentioned it. But when I got back to that next revival, 1 year later, same month of the year, that family was reunited. And that wife did not yet have the Holy Ghost, but she repented and was dressed in as great as you can see, an apostolic dress. Children didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, but they were all united, loving each other. And I saw the fruits of that prophecy and that revival. God filled, amen, Brother Levy's wife with the Holy Ghost and fire. Filled the two sons with the Holy Ghost. Fact is, that 12-year-old son, it was like midnight when that service winded down of people getting the Holy Ghost. And Brother Levy finally had to go home. He just picked him up, put him on his shoulder, still talking in tongues, and took him home. Hallelujah. No, when God says it, folks, it'll happen. You don't have to worry about it. Get down and pray and fast about it. If God says it, it'll do it. Now, if we're talking a bunch of stuff in our own self, hey, forget it. You're going to get in trouble. Now, I'm telling you, when God does it right. Amen. Because of the anointing. Isaiah 61:4. The last verse we're reading here on 61 that they quoted in Jesus read rather in Luke 4, quoted from Isaiah 61. And listen to what this verse here says. And they shall build the old ways. He's talking about the anointing. Remember, the anointing of the Lord God is upon me. That same anointing passed on to the spiritual body that was on the physical body. And then he says this about the church and the ministry. They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. God is anointing and using this end time ministry to bring a church into a place and churches into places that haven't been. Amen. For ages. And believe me, God said it. He'll do it. Fact is, Acts chapter 3, verse 21, talking about the glorified body of Jesus Christ. It said, in whom the heavens must receive until when? The times of restitution of all things. Wow. Restitution means, Sister Meyer, the period of great restoration. I'm glad to be a part of that restoring hour, aren't you folks? Praise God. We got work to do, church, in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. We're believing God for the greatest, amen, as yet to come, as he's spoken throughout the word of God. When he talks about restitution, restoring, he's talking about everything. Restoring in wholeness, the gifts of the Spirit, apostolic doctrine, healing, miracles, signs, whatever. When he restores everything. And don't forget one part, his judgment also. Mm-hmm. As Ananias and Sapphira, or some of those judgments. Yeah. I remember when I preached from Brother Jordan, Rensselaer, Indiana. The building was in a residential neighborhood in that town. And there was a woman, her house was next to the church building. And when they got out of their vehicle in the evening, she would cuss them, call them every kind of a dirty name she could think of. They just walked on in. They didn't do anything, you know, retaliate or nothing. Little time passed. See, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Ecclesiastes said, therefore the hearts of the sons of men setting them to do evil. She probably thought, she probably went to some church somewhere, but she hated Pentecost apostolic. That's obvious. Listen, folks, summertime. They get out of the van. She's out mowing the grass. She shuts off the lawnmower and begins to cuss them. She dropped dead of a heart attack. Wow. One thing about the judgments of God, they sometimes may not be too swift, but one thing about them, they're sure. Yeah. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. When you've got the anointing, remember, touch not my anointed. Right. Brother Jordan was an anointed pastor. He was a good man. Amen. Touch not my anointed. People don't understand that, do they? Joel 2:24. And the floor, speaking of the prophecy of the times of restitution, if you read Joel 2. And the floor shall be full of wheat. I don't see where any, like I said the other night, any one of God's people, Old New Testament, that loved him, served him, ever starved to death. And here at the end time, when things are getting tough for the world, the floor shall be full of wheat. And the fats, the old King James word fat means vat or a container holding liquids. Listen to this. And the fats, the vat, shall overflow with wine and oil. He wasn't talking about us drinking natural Mogan David wine. What is wine symbolic of in the scripture? Isaiah 29:9. They're drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Praise God, we know what it is. The new wine out of heaven, the Holy Ghost. What's going to happen? The fats, our containers will be overflowing, amen, with Holy Ghost power and with oil. What's oil represent? What's it typical of? The anointing of Almighty God. Amen. That's why when that natural anointing, and now we still anoint with oil, I'm not saying that, but that natural anointing over those priests and the way God did it was figuratively of what was to come. The anointing upon the gifts of the ministry, of the pastors, the evangelists, whatever, the anointing of God that he's bringing forth in this end time hour. It said they shall overflow. Overflow with Holy Ghost power and Holy Ghost anointing. Hallelujah. That sounds good to me. Praise God. Amen. I'm ready for it, Sister Meyer. Exodus 28:40-41. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets. Of course, when you analyze, you know, our term of using these words today, a little different than it was then, because the bonnets meant a headpiece covering whatever. But anyway, it said, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons, get it, with him, and shall anoint them. Wow. This is a type and a shadow, like I said, of the Holy Ghost and power. And shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Their vessels shall overflow with wine, Holy Ghost power, and all the anointing of God. Now that's what God's prophesying of the last day end time church upon this earth. And I'm thankful to be a part of it. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I wish I could live in the days of the apostles, the days of Jesus. I'm glad I'm living, amen, right now. Because God has a work for us in this end time hour. And the true ministry of God, folks, are just as important to the kingdom of God right now as those were in the days of the book of Acts. Just as important. Because this is the ending of all things. This is the end time hour that you and I are in right now. You talk about the anointing. God's anointing a week ago Wednesday. And also last night. It was the move of the Spirit was almost just a repeat of that, seemed like. You know what I mean? How God just moved in here and just mightily. The power of God. I remember one, and I thought of this today. And I made a note of it. But I remember years ago, Brother Reed, my pastor, still pastor in Columbia, Tennessee, pastor in Mississippi for years, because he's resigned that now, retired, whatever. But anyway, he was gone this night, and it was like a weekday night, like a Wednesday night, Bible study night. And he asked me, you know, if I would preach the service and all. I said, sure. When that service started that night, the anointing power of God swept through that place. And I'm telling you, I didn't think I preached that, and I don't know if I did, just said a few words. The power and the anointing was so strong in that service. And I just jotted down some of the things that happened. Sister Tracy, a young sister at that time, was there, and some reason she had a problem with cigarettes. You know, she'd think she's delivered and she'd lay them down, or throw them away, she'd lay them down, throw them away and then turn around and buy another pack. Well, this went on for a little while. And what it was the spirit. But that night, by her testimony, that spirit of nicotine came out of her.
Amen.
Praise God. Brother David Howard has since passed away, but a brother that was in that church that time, his cousin was completely healed of cancer.
Amen.
I'm talking about the anointing of God was through that place. Believe it or not, on this one, which kind of shocked me, 5 people testified the ending of that service. And they said on their way to church, as far as they felt, it was the end of the rope. If God didn't move, they wasn't coming back again. Well, God moved and they come back. God delivered them that night. It's amazing what the anointing of God will do. It really is. It is anointing. It is anointing, boy, makes the difference. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10:27, I'm on the downside of this tonight. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of what? The anointing. The anointed word will deliver. Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, you can look at that 2 ways. God sent the word, the Logos. You're going to go back to John 1. Which was Jesus Christ. Prophecy, Logos, Word. But also look at it this way. In the church, the spiritual body of Christ, he sent his word and healed them. I've told a lot of people through the years, I said, let me tell you something. You don't have to wait to be prayed for the end of this service. I know God's plan is laying on hands, all that. But I said, there's exception to the rule. It's time Jesus spoke the word and it happened. Didn't lay hands on nobody. Other times he laid hands. Okay? And through that, I tell them, you can be healed while the word of God's going forth. And you can receive the Holy Ghost while the word of God's going forth. Amen. And some of them have believed that and they received it. But also this, it takes the same anointing upon the hearts and the ears of the congregation to receive as the anointing is upon the minister behind the pulpit.
Yes.
If that congregation not anointed, they're not grasp very much, I promise you. But when that anointing is there, business fixing to pick up. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 21:5. Prepare the table. You know, Psalms 23:5. David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Amen. Thou anointest my head with oil. Wow. My cup runneth over. He was prophesying somewhere. Praise God. But Isaiah said, God said through Isaiah, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. What is that shield? It was an article of defense. It was a weapon, wasn't it? A protective from the weapons. Defense, shelter, protection. Now, in Ephesians 6:16, he said this, above all, what's above all? I don't know how you get anything above all. Do you? That's above, that's the highest above. Above all, right? Taking the shield of faith. Wow. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen.
Through that shield of faith, we can stamp out all doubt and unbelief and confusion and frustration and worry. Hallelujah. How? Through the shield of faith. He said, above all, the shield of faith.
Amen.
Amen. And God's anointing on top of all that, brother, I'm telling you what, great things happen. Hallelujah. It's amazing about the anointing of God. When I was passing the second major kidney stone, I was with my daughter in the state of Kentucky. They lived in Hopkinsville at that time. I was preaching a special meeting in Crofton. On the way up, because I saved my daughter, Candy, the oldest daughter, because I didn't have that far to drive to the meeting, so I just stayed with her. And it's really amazing. On the way up there from Columbia, Tennessee, I knew, because I'd went through that before and liked to die. I didn't claim it, but I knew the symptoms. Kidney stone. And the pain was almost unbearable. Well, each night that I went to preach, it was like three nights in that conference. Each night, I mean, the pain was, it was rough. I found the only way to relieve that pain was set in the bathtub in hot water, so hot you think it's going to boil your skin off or something. As hot as you can take, and it'll relieve that pain. That's the only thing I found it would, except prayer. In the natural, I'm talking about the hot water. Well, here's what I'm saying. I would be in pain sitting, waiting, you know, to preach. The pain was there. But when the minute I stepped behind the pulpit, it's like I was healed. There was no pain, nothing. And during the message of the anointing of God, no pain. But when I closed the Bible, turned it back to that pastor, and went back there, the pain came back in all of its fury. It's really amazing. It did that all three nights. Fact is, the last night I'm getting ready for church, and my daughter seen me suffer through that. But I knew I'd been through it before, and I knew God was going to heal me. And she said, "Daddy, you can't preach tonight." I said, "Honey, I got to." She said, "No, not what you went through. No, no." I said, "Candy, honey, I've got to." She said, "All right, but I'm driving you." I said, "Okay." She drove me. And the same thing happened that night at church. When I opened the Bible, began to read the scripture for the message, all the pain went, left completely. Preached an hour or whatever. But when I closed that Bible, turned again to him, and went back, Brother Tim, all the pain came back. But that night while I was sleeping, God completely healed that stone. Amen. Completely. Praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. The anointing, because of the anointing makes the difference, folks. The anointing. I remember Stefan Bankoff, and I got a couple of things to say. I'm going to close. Came from Russia. He labored in the Eastern Communist Bloc nations, which they were not communists at that time. They were neutral. But when those nations fell under communism, then he said this, "Okay, my burden has been for Russia. And since all these nations, Romania, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, are under communism, I'm going to go where I've had the real burden to go, and that's Russia." And the time, I don't remember how long he was there, I guess a few years, whatever. But he had some of the most awesome testimonies you ever heard in your life. Wow. Ever. Amen. At least that I've ever heard. And I know there's all kinds of, I've seen God move all kinds of miracles. And over, of course, we hadn't been under communism. Okay? Now, the one reason why they love to inflict torture on, they call their all ministers pastors in foreign countries. You found that, because they're evangelists or what they are, they're all pastors to them. So this one pastor they apprehended, and the reason they inflict torture, they know those ministers know where the underground churches are. And if they can get them to talk, buddy, they got a heyday. Well, this pastor wouldn't talk. They tortured him, he wouldn't talk. So the man in charge said, "Okay, take him down to the snake pit. Throw him in there." And the snake pit was one of their ways of torture. And it's what I got from the testimony, or visualized. It was like the cellar we had under the farmhouse where I was raised in Indiana. We had no electricity until I was about 14. And that kept things cool. You'd keep your Kool-Aid cool, milk cool, water cool. Not real cold, but kept it cool. Down under the ground. Well, that's what the snake pit was like. There was a door, of course, opened up, the stairs down into the snake pit. So they took this pastor and threw him in the snake pit. Closed the door and left. KGB man. Naturally, in that snake pit, because you got poisonous snakes, you got everything in it. And a man in there doesn't stand a chance. Period. And they knew that. But here's what happened. When that pastor, of course, all of the light was in there, was a little grate. It was pitch dark, but the light, you know, when your eyes dilate and you get where you can see kind of more in the dark. Well, there was enough light. And when he looked, it looked like a spaghetti bowl. Then the snakes were matted. And before he could even think, the largest snake in that pit came to him, crawled and circled around him. And left enough room up here to take his head and look him eyeball to eyeball. But here's the point. He said, "The anointing of God came upon me." He said, "I looked that snake eyeball to eyeball. I said, oh boy, maybe you don't know who you wrapped around. You're not wrapped around some ordinary dude. You wrapped around a son of the living God. He dropped his head and stayed by him. And every snake tried to get to him, that snake killed him.
Wow.
And day passed, night passed, next day. Finally, you know, Hardy Har Har, the man in charge said, KGB man, go down and check on the pastor, you know, big joke. He goes down to check on him. Well, I guarantee you, he'd open that door and go down to see him. Imagine he hollered through that grate. Hey, pastor, everything all right? You know, Hardy Har Har. Well, I've been under better condition in my life, but I'm doing pretty well. He ran back to that man in charge. He said, you ain't going to believe this. That pastor's still alive. He said, what? I'm telling you, he answered me. He's alive. He didn't say anything for a few seconds. He said, okay, go down there. Get him out of there and set him free. I don't know right there if they thought he was a god or what he was. Praise God. But I'm telling you what. I said that to say this. He said, the anointing of God came upon me. He said, my body actually began to shake. And that's when he spoke to the biggest snake in there. Maybe you don't know who you wrapped around, dude. You're not wrapped around some ordinary fella. You wrapped around a son of the living God. And boy, the anointing came on that snake. And he became his bodyguard. Hallelujah. Amen. We read the scripture quoted the other night. When your ways please the Lord, he'll even make your enemies be at peace with you. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave an awesome testimony with you concerning the Philippine Islands. And this is great. Just another way of knowing our God is a mighty miracle worker. This is an article came out from a Oneness magazine, a foreign mission magazine, and it's been a few years ago, okay? And it's called The Gospel Goes to the Kalinga Tribe. Deep in the mountains of northern Luzon, Philippines. Of course, the northern Luzon is north of Manila. The island Manila is in the on the island of Luzon. That's a large island. And way up north in Luzon lives a tribe of people known for their fierce conduct and an addiction to war. Their lives have been driven by their hate and bitterness for generations. I mean, these people are crazy. They're mean. In June of 1988, we were able to penetrate this hostile tribe and bring them the gospel message. The mission was dangerous and difficult. 6 Catholic priests were killed in these mountains before we arrived. I can relate to this because they were killed, the islands we preached on, it wasn't northern Luzon, on Negros and laity. And I had slides I used to show where they burned those priests, they killed them and burned them. But all of our work in those mountains and climbing the mountains and having crusades and establishing churches, no one ever bothered us. And the reason why, Psalm 91 was our protector.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In one of our first meetings with these Kalinga tribesmen, listen to this, to give them a Bible study, an elder of the tribe arrived near midnight at our hut to test us. Now, of course, this brother's one God apostolic, Jesus-named person. But listen to what he said. That bishop said, get what he said. Before the Catholic missionaries came here in the early 1950s, we had much peace in our village. Since that time, we have become killers. I'll tell you, it's not enough about that rotten mess, shouldn't it? Have become killers. And there's not enough rice for us or fish in the rivers. Get this. What can you say about that? Now, working the Philippines all them years, I know what he's saying. They'll present their need to you and they say, what do you say about it? In other words, what are you going to do about it? You're going to give us money? You're going to help us? What do you say about it? That's what he asked him. The rice crops are shot. We're starving to death, so to speak. The fish left our rivers. That's probably why they killed them priests. Probably knew enough to blame them for them. I don't know. One thing about it, he said, what can you say about that? Get it. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Here's your difference. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I told him that if they would stop their killing, God would put fish in their rivers, rice in their fields, and bring peace in their villages. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. On a recent trip to that village, this is what they reported to him at their later visit. And they reported, this has been the biggest harvest they can ever remember. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is fish in the rivers again. And been no killings since we brought the gospel to them in June of 1988. And he said this, there are 200 or more born-again apostolics in that one major village. Before all this, they had the reputation of being the most hateful and killing tribe in the Philippine Islands. Wow. That's my Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and give Him a praise right now. Holy Ghost, we praise You, Jesus. Mighty God, we glorify You for Your greatness. Your mighty power, Your eternal glory. Lord, we magnify and we praise You, Jesus. Thanking You, God, for Your many benefits. Thank You for Your anointing, O God. Yeah, thank You, Jesus, because of the anointing. Hallelujah to God. Amen. My Father works the greatest miracles. My Father knows how to do everything precise. My Heavenly Father knows He's got everything in control. And He wants us, yea, to see the great rewards and the great, great things He wants to do in this end time hour. Hallelujah to God. Yea, Lord, we believe You tonight, Father. Thank You, Jesus, mighty God, for everything. Thank You, Father, for everything, Lord, for working the great miracles in our lives, for Your hand of protection upon us, the leadership of the Spirit. Glory to God, we praise You, Master. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus, because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Because of the anointing. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Makes the difference when that anointing comes. Makes that a difference when that anointing is there. Hallelujah. Praise God. You want to pray tonight? The altars are open. Want to come and talk to the Lord before this service is officially dismissed? Amen. Let God do something in your lives. Let's pray, oh God, we're seeking You for a greater anointing. Yea, Lord, a greater anointing in these last day hours we're living in. Holy Ghost, by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we love You. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Yea, Lord, by Your mighty power, Jesus.